Okay, we're starting on the Mishnah at the top of Tzadi Amud Aleph. B'chami Omrim, lo yigeresh adam et ishto, elim ken matzaba davar erva, that a person is only entitled to divorce his wife when in an instance when there is something related to arayot, meaning that his wife has been somehow unfaithful or involved in an issue of erva, then he's permitted to divorce her. Shenamar, because it says in the parsha of Gerushin, ki matzaba ervat davar, because he found in her an ervat davar, and that's the reason that he is divorcing her. That's b'shilcha mibeito, he's sending her away. Ubeitil olamim afilu yigdicha tavshilo, that even if he burnt, even if she burnt his dinner, burnt his that which she is cooking for him, then that's enough. That's a sufficient reason to have them be divorced. Shenemar ki matzaba ervat davar, because he found something wrong with her. So over here, Rashi explains, and we'll see it in the Gemara also, that the Beis Hillel believes that he found in her erva. One reason for divorce is erva. The other reason for divorce is davar, that he finds anything. Anything that bothers him, he's allowed to divorce her. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva is even more so, afilu masa acheret na'a hemeno, even if he finds someone even more beautiful than her, meaning that he sees another woman that is more beautiful, shenemar, because it says, after it says, ki, look, that she doesn't find favor in his eyes. So if this woman does not find favor in his eyes, then he's entitled to go get another wife. He's entitled to divorce her. So the Mishnah, in general, it seems very chauvinistic, treating women as objects here, in the sense that, he, according to Beit Hillel, even if she burns his dinner, then he can divorce her. And Rabbi Akiva says, oh, if he finds a nicer woman, like he finds a nicer car, he can go marry her. And it seems like it's treating the women in a, almost denigrating women in many senses. So my brother-in-law reminded me of the Rav Soloveitchik, who writes in Family Redeemed about this Mishnah, and he explains here that really, the Mishnah here is focused on the Kedusha and the high standard of marriage within Judaism. And that is that the things that when Beit Hillel says that the woman, when she burns the meal, when she burns his dinner, that's sufficient reason to divorce, that's a siman and not a sibat. That's not the reason for the divorce. The reason that we want a divorce in this case is not because she burnt the dinner, but the reason we want a divorce in this case is because if burning his dinner bothers the husband so much, then he doesn't understand the kedusha of marriage. He doesn't understand the proper way to treat his wife and to take care and have love between a husband and wife. A love between a husband and wife should not end up in a case or an instance where there's a burnt dinner that he should want to divorce her or send her away. And that failure, that siman, seems that he doesn't understand the power and the kedusha of marriage, and therefore we say to him, divorce her, because we don't want you to maintain such a marriage, because that marriage is not the ideal, and it's not the marriage that the Torah laid out for us. And the same thing for Rabbi Akiva. We've seen this many times in the Masechta, that a person, when he is having relations with his wife, which is the highest form of kedusha and the zenith of a marriage of a husband and wife and their intimacy together, right, at that moment, if he's thinking about other women, that is totally inappropriate. So too over here, we say that if he starts seeing women that are, he thinks look better or prettier, then he's missing the mark with marriage. He doesn't really understand the kedusha of marriage. And when he doesn't understand the kedusha of marriage, we say to him, go ahead, divorce her, because we don't want you, not to denigrate the woman, but we don't want you denigrating the kedusha of the institution of marriage, as well as treating the wife and the woman in the proper manner. This person sees a woman as an object, and then would trade her for another woman, doesn't understand marriage. We don't want, go ahead, divorce, because we don't want him in a marriage. We don't want the woman treated inappropriately, and we don't want the marriage as an institution treated inappropriately. And the same thing of Beit Hillel Makdiach B'tav Shilo, which is this, gives a much more, right, a much more global and positive view of the Mishnah, that we see, or it's focused on the kedusha of marriage and the high standard by which we hold marriage. And if there are failings here, all these issues that are coming up are not the reason, sibah, for the divorce, but rather the siman, indications that there's a failure in the marriage, or there's a failure in the understanding of what marriage is about. In that case, in order to protect the woman and protect the marriage, we say, get divorced. All right, now continuing in the Gemara, Tanya, Amru Beit Hillel de Beit Shammai, Halok Varner Mar Davar. Right, so Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, how could you say that the only reason for divorce is Ervat Davar, if it says Davar in the Pasuk? Amru Lahem Beit Shammai, Valok Varner Mar Ervat. It also says Ervat. So how do you explain that you can do things beyond the Rayot if it says Ervat? So Amru Lahem Beit Hillel, Im Ner Mar Ervat, had it just written Ervat by itself, Veloma Ner Mar Davar, and it didn't say Davar, then I tomer mishum erva teitze, mishum davar lo teitze. Then I would have come to the same conclusion that you did, Beit Shammai, which is that the only reason for a divorce, only a significant enough reason for a divorce is arayot. Whereas anything else, anything outside of arayot, will not be a sufficient reason to get a divorce. The kach nemar davar. So the pasuk ends the word davar to teach us. Davar means that for any reason, you know, up to Afiach Tav Shiloh, if there's any reason, then we can divorce. Vilu Nermar Davar, had it just written Nevar and not Lermar Ervat, Haidomer, I would have thought Mishum Davar Tina Selacher. That if the reason for the divorce is something other than Arayot, then this woman may marry another party. Like after she gets divorced, she may go on to another marriage, and that's the pasuk is about. Then he'll send her out, and she'll go marry someone else. So only in the case of Davar, had it just written Davar, I would have thought that is the only time she can marry another individual. But if it was from Erva, yes, she would have to get divorced, or he could, a sufficient reason for divorce, but she would not be permitted to marry others. So therefore, the pasuk gives us both. And therefore, we get Erva to teach us Arayot, are allowed to marry if she's divorced for the reason of Arayot. As long as she's not marrying the Boel, then she can marry anybody else if she wishes. And the same thing, Davar teaches us that it's not limited to Erva, it's not limited to Devarim Sheba Arayot, issues of Arayot, and that any reason is sufficient to have a divorce over here. Now, Beit Shammai, Hai Davar Ma'avdile. What do they, Beit Shammai, do with the word Davar? So they, Ne'mar Kan Davar, Benemar lahalan davar. It says davar in our sugi here and by the parsha of Girushin. Also says davar by the parsha of Eidut. It says in the parsha of Eidut, al pishnei medim or al pishlosh edim yakum davar. That Eidut was only established by two or three edim. Malahalan mishnei edim, just like by Eidut you require two edim, afkan mishnei edim. Also over here, kol davar shebe erva has to be, right, mishnei edim, it has to be barur, that which the cause is the cause for divorce. Or that which is a sufficient reason for divorce must be something that is clear to us, something that is barur to us in order to have a divorce here. Beit Hillel, what's Beit Hillel going to do? Michtiv erva badavar. It doesn't say, like you're suggesting, Beit Shammai, that evar requires davar. What does that mean? That according to Beit Shammai, evar requires davar, which is two edim. That's not what's written in the pasuk. But rather, it says, ervat davar. Beit Shammai, michtiv o erva o davar. Well, according to you, Beit Hillel, you're saying that the pasuk really means, kimatzaba ervat davar means erva, or davar, but I don't see that in the pasuk. I don't see it separating it out. O erva o davar. It says ervat davar. Matil hachiktiv ervat davar. Right. Had it written erva and davar, you're right, then I couldn't have said that. But now that the lashon, the pasuk changes lashon to ervat davar, the mashmahachi o mashmahachi. It can mean both. It can mean, right? It can mean both that erva is a sufficient reason for divorce, as well as the fact that davar is a sufficient reason for divorce, as well as the fact that maybe you would need the shnei edim, right, to establish a davar sheba erva. Now, again, grammatically it is not true, because ervat is nismach, and that makes actually the phrase ervat davar to be a single unit, and it would make it less likely to split it up. But I think Beit Hillel's point here is not from a grammatical standpoint, but rather from the choice of words of the Torah. It could have said erva and davar. But the fact that it used ervat davar, which is not the simplest way to read it, then it's mashmachi or mashmachi. It means both erva and davar. Rabbi Akiva omer, afilu matza acheret, even if you find someone else. But my kemiflegei, what do they argue about? So the question of my kemiflegei over here is a question of who does Rabbi Akiva hold like? Does Rabbi Akiva hold like Beit Shammai? Or does Rabbi Akiva hold like Beit Hillel? So Tosfos brings a position, which seems to flow through the Gemara here, that it's only Rabbi Akiva holds like Beit Shammai. He explains kimatza bar evat davar to mean arayot. And then he has an additional pasuk that says, vaya im lo timsachem beinav. That if he finds somebody that doesn't find favor in his eyes, I mean that there are two reasons for divorce, erva, or lo timsachein be'enav. And so he learns like Beit Shammai, that the first pasuk is about erva, and the second pasuk is about v'yelo timsachein be'enav. There's a Rabbi Elchanan in Tosfos that suggests that Rabbi Akiva could even fit into Beit Hillel's position, and he will say, v'ya im tzaba davat, ervat davar, erva and davar, so then why do you need v'ya im lo timsachein? Says, well, you wouldn't have interpreted Vayayim lo timsachein beinav to mean or if he doesn't find favor in your eyes, if he didn't have the davar that's found in the ervat davar. I mean that the fact that it's ervan davar is the petach, is the indication that Vayayim lo timsachein beinav is actually something, a reason, an additional reason for a divorce. So now, the Gemara says, Mayim Miflegei. So according to the first interpretation, Mayim means, what does Beit Shammai and Rabbi Akiva disagree with? I mean, that they agree that Arvat Zavar means Arayot, so how do they agree? So they disagree about Bidreish Lakish. According to the second interpretation, Mayim Miflegei means, how does Rabbi Akiva differ from Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? Damareish Lakish, Ki, Mayim Shamesh, Bidalad Lushonot, that Ki can function in four different ways. One is E, meaning that E, mean Ki means Im, if something will happen. Dilma, right? Dilma means maybe, and Rashi interprets maybe to be pen, which is a negative form, meaning that pen, you might think, you might, in the negative form, you might think such and such will happen, but no. And then, Ella, ki can also be but, and daha, and it can be daha, which is because, or giving a reason. So Rashi over here brings examples of all these different types of keys, and he, throughout Tanakh, he shows where the key, different types of keys show up. Rashi adds one additional category, which means ka'asher. That sometimes im, an if form, is not if something will happen in the question, maybe it will not happen, but im means kasher. Sometimes it means that for sure it will happen, right? It's just when it does happen, not if it happens, but when it happens. For instance, there's a key which says when such and such will happen, then you should do such and such. So there, the key has been used as im, but im in a form of not a question of if, but rather when. And Rashi gives other interesting explanations with some of the psukim, which are a little harder to understand. Like, for instance, wherever you can't interpret ki to mean any of these lashonot, where you can't make it into a lashon of im or kasher, then it should be daha. It means because. It's giving an explanation for what happened. And that's, for instance, Rashi gives an example of that, ki vasus paro. What does it mean, ki vasus paro? Is that giving a... What does the key im in that instance mean? So Rashi in terms of the means, the ha, because. That's giving a reason for that which happened afterwards, which is kach Miriam and Nivyah. That why did Miriam, why is there shira that she's singing? Because, right, the ha, because, ki va susparo. Because of what happened to the susparo. Rashi has a couple psukim like that, where he interprets them to mean because, even though it doesn't seem to fit so easily in the puzzle. Tosfos rejects Rashi's explanation of that, and that you have many times that we have the word im, right, to mean im kasher, meaning that when it will happen, and not that when it will happen as a question mark, but im means that vadai, it did happen, something happened, right? So over here it's ki vasus paro v'yachvo v'yam, right, because that's what this all happened because, or when paro went into the yam, that's something that vadai happened, something that was clear and will happen. But nevertheless, the Torah uses a lashon ki, and this is similar to what Rashi had mentioned above, right, that we said that Rashi has a different interpretation of ki of im, not to mean if, but rather when. And Tosfos extends that for the when, not to say that there will be uncertainty about when it'll happen, but rather vadai, it definitely happened, or definitely will happen, and that ki can still function in that way. Okay, now continue the Gemara. So, Bechavei Savrei, when it says in the Pasuk Vaya, im lo timsechein ve'inav, ki matzah ba'er vatavar. Why are we not fading fiber in eyes? Ki matzah bar vatavar. Daha. It means because. That's giving a reason. Why is she not find favor in his eyes? Because of this ervatavar. Right? Whereas Rabbi Akiva savar, ki matzah bar vatavar. Inami matzah bar ervatavar. Right? So that ki over here means not daha as giving a reason, but rather im, if he will find with her a davar ervah. So now the way the Rabbi Akiva is going to read the pasuk is, Vayayim lo timsachin beinav is one reason. Ki means im, matzah ba'devar tavar. Or another reason is ervat tavar. Meaning that either one of these will be sufficient reason for a divorce. Either lo timsachin beinav, or inami, or im, also, matzah ba'devat ervat tavar. So amarei papa l'rava, lo matzah ba lo erva, v'lo davar mahu. If, according to Beit Hillel, he does not have sufficient grounds for divorce. Meaning that he doesn't have erayot, and she hasn't done anything wrong. Is he allowed to divorce her, according to Beit Hillel? And, if he does go ahead and divorce her, what's the requirement of the husband? Does he have to take her back now? So, since the pasuk explicitly says, by an ones, someone who is ma'anes a betula, lo yuchol l'shalcha koyamav, he's not allowed to send her away his whole life. Koyamav, ba'mud v'echzir, koy, this person must have this woman and take her back his whole life. If he sends her away, he's obligated to take her back. And it's actually a lav and itak ba'aseh, you don't get malchus for it because he's under an obligation to return this woman. He must stay married to her. And even if he sends her away or divorces her, he must remarry her. Hatamu de gali rachmana by ones, the pasuk is explicit that you require to take her back. Of a hacha, in our instance, my david of it, what's done is done, it's spilled milk. Once the divorce is in effect, we don't require him to go reverse that which he did. The divorce is done, And he's not required to take the woman back. So even if she's divorced for insufficient cause, according to Beit Hillel, nevertheless, if the divorce happened, it's a valid divorce, number one, and number two is he's not required to remarry her. So I'm Rav Mishar Shele Rabo. Im li bol de garsha, vi yoshevet achtav v'shem shavto, mau. If he intends to divorce her, right, but she's still living with him, and she's still servicing him, or having relations with him, what's the din? So Kari Ale, he says about such a person, al tacharosh al reacha ra'a, v'hu yoshev devetach itach. Right, don't devise evil plans on your friend, and he is unaware of it. I mean, don't in your own heart of hearts, you're trying to figure out how to do bad to this individual, and he's sitting calmly and collectively. He doesn't understand your intentions, and you're treating him like a friend. You're deceiving him as a friend. So same thing over here. Do not stay married to a woman that you intend to divorce, that she is living here as if nothing is wrong, and she is treating him like a husband and a marriage that's going to continue, and his real intent is to end the marriage. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kishim Sha De'ot B'Machal, Kach De'ot B'Nashim. Just like people have different approaches to food or different views of how they eat, so too people have different approaches to pritzut and tsniut by women. Yesh Lecha Adam, Shizvuv Nofel L'Toch Koso. There are people who a fly falls into their cup, Vizarko, and he throws it out, Veino Shoteh, and he refuses to drink it now because he's an Istanist. He doesn't want, can't handle anything that went wrong. This is the way Papus Yehuda, you should treat pritzut or tzniut of his wife. Shaya noel bifnei ishto v'yotze. That he used to lock his wife. When he left to go out, he used to lock his wife in the house and go, because he couldn't handle his wife interacting with anyone but himself. Right? And Rashi comments over here that what Papus Ben Yehuda did was wrong. And because of her hatred, or this hatred that he creates by locking her into the house, then she actually causes more of a problem. And she's actually mizane because she can't handle being locked in the house. What's interesting, Rashi says Papas Ben Yehuda. Who was Papas Ben Yehuda married to? Bala. She was the husband of Miriam Megadla Neshayaya. She was the husband of Miriam, the one who braided women's hairs, or otherwise known as Mary Magdalene. That was the wife of Papas Ben Yehuda, and he, like an Easternist by food, could not handle any pritzut or any going out, so he couldn't handle his wife interacting with any others, and she locked her in the house, which ended up, again, in a bad scenario, a bad instance in the end, where she is, because of that hatred or because of that distrust that builds between them, then in the end she's mizan, it makes the situation worse. Now, the next day, a fly falls into his cup, he throws it out, and then he drinks the cup. This is generally how people are. That a person's comfortable when someone speaks to his sister or to his her relatives, meaning that brother or relatives, there is not makpi. That's not considered pritzut. That's normal for people to interact within their close family in their circle of relatives. But outside of that, that's already pritzut. When she starts to interact with other men, that's already pritzut. That's beyond, and that's not acceptable. The people go where the mosquito flies or a fly falls into their cooking pot or into the serving pot. Motzitzo, he squeezes it out, vochlon, and he eats it. Zumi dat adam ra. This is the actions of a person who is horrible. Shuret ishto yotza v'roshah perua. Sees his wife going out and her hair is uncovered, but tove b'shuk, and she is weaving in the shuk, but there meaning that she exposes her arms. That's the Gemara Ksubot says these are grounds for a man to divorce his wife because she's violating dat yudit, upruma mishnei tzidel, or that her clothing is open on the sides. That means that she's exposing herself. Rochetzet b'nei adam, and she bathes with others. It says im b'nei adam, if she's bathing with men, im b'nei adam, I mean, of course she's divorced in that case. Rashi says that's raglaim davar. That's already circumstantial evidence that she raised mizana, that she's bathing with men. That's inappropriate, totally inappropriate. She bathes in the same place that the men also bathe. Not that she's in there at the same time as them, not that she's with them, but that when they're coming out, she's going in, which again is, this is inappropriate. Zoom, it's Torah garsha. This is this type of woman is an obligation from the Torah to divorce her. Shinemar, kimatza ba ervat davar, because he found something wrong with her, something her actions demand, right, that he divorce her. Shulcham mi beito, he'll send her out of her house. V'holchav ayita l'ishacher, and then she'll go and marry someone else. Hakatuv karo acher, right? The pasuk calls this individual acher, right? Lomar, Shein Zeb Ben Zugo to be shown. This first person sent this woman out of his house because of her ill behavior or ill repute or her immodest behavior. He removed this evil from his house. And this second guy goes and marries her, meaning that he's willing to take on such a woman. So Zocha Sheni, if he's lucky, he'll divorce her too. The second one will hate her as well. If he's not lucky, she'll bury him. If the second one dies, he's worthy of dying. This guy threw out this evil from his house. This woman acts inappropriately. That he now brings this second one who takes this woman in, is taking out the rejects of the first man, but who rejected her for valid reasons for her inappropriate behavior, and now the second man is going and taking her into his house. He deserves what he gets. And what he's going to get, the Torah says, either he's going to divorce her as well, or she's going to bury him. He's going to predecease her. Now, Tosfos just point out here, Rashi said above that what Rechetzit Mnei Adam there, it's clear that he wouldn't get divorced from her because there's Edim and there's circumstantial evidence that she's Mizana, and then for sure he would have to divorce her. But Tosfos says, but only other instances are mentioned in the Mishnah Ketubot. I mean, Moshe, Parua, Tove, Bashuk, these are all instances where a person also must divorce his wife if they're known. So why is this different? Why is the Gemara only question the case where she's bathing with men and not these other instances? So Tosfos gives two possibilities. Meaning that one possibility is that he may not be obligated to divorce her in the case of Rosh HaParua and Tovev HaShuk. It's a question in the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota asks whether if she violates Dat Yehudit, is he obligated to divorce her? The Gemara there says he is obligated, but the fact that the Gemara there has a question about it, it's not on the same level as bathing with men, which is a step beyond those, where he must divorce her, as opposed to these, where he should divorce her, and that's the conclusion of the Gemara, but at least we had a question about it. The other possibility that Tosfos says is that bathing with men, right, is something that no one can handle. Even the simplest of people, even when it doesn't know halacha, will not accept that type of behavior from a woman. I mean, that even without halachic reason, that type of behavior of a woman is beyond the pale, and therefore everybody would agree that, you know, everybody would send her out, everybody would divorce her in that instance. The other ones of Rosh HaParua, Tovei B'Shuk, has to be someone who has a sensitivity to halacha, sensitivity to tzniut, and therefore when the woman acts in this way, he will divorce her. But the other indication, bathing with men, that already is beyond, right, don't even need halacha to tell you that there's something very wrong in that instance. So it also says, that's why the Gemara only questions the Rechetzit Bnei Adam, not the other instances where there is an obligation to divorce the woman. Right now, just to close out the Masechta, we have a pasuk from Malachi. It says, Kisanei Shalach, though that which you hate, you should send away. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ime Sanata, right, if you hate her, Shalach, then send her away. Meaning that if a woman, right, it does not find favor in your eyes, if she hate her, shalach, send her away. So that's like Rabbi Akiva's position. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, so now there are two girsot here. The one we have here is Sanui Amishaleach. The one who sends her away, right, is hated. Meaning that the sender, the husband who divorces his wife, is the one that's hated. The other girsot that we have, the girsot that Rashi has, is Snuahi Lifnei Makom. Right, that shalach. The one who sends her away is hated by her Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that is, according to either Beit Shammai, or possibly according to Beit Hillel. So if you look in Rashi, Snuahi Lifnei Makom Shalach Beit Shammai, Ve'ita Gasi Sanuya Mashalach, the one who sends away is the hated one. Ve'zu Shemati Sanuya Mitzmeach Lifnei Makom, that he's hated by Hashem. Ve'afilu Beit Hillel, he regards Baal, Nehidlo Kai Finish Lalotzi, even though Beit Hillel says you can divorce for any reason, and nevertheless, and we don't force you not to divorce. But if you do divorce, it's still Hashem doesn't like that. Hashem is not in favor of a divorce, and therefore, Sanuya Mishalach, the one who divorces, even though he has the right to divorce, we don't necessarily look favorably upon it. So again, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion: if you read Sanuya Mishalach, that can be according to Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai. If you read Snuahi Lifnei Makom, right, that Shalach, right, if she's hated by the Makom, send it away. That's like Beit Shammai, who says that she's acting inappropriately. She has had a rayot, therefore, send her away. Velo pligi, that they don't argue. Habzug rishon, habzug sheni. That depends. That's got to do with the first marriage or your second marriage. Why is that? Eshet nurim, your first marriage, Hashem frowns upon those that divorce. Whereas in a second marriage, right? If you are hated or if there's something wrong, send her away. Damar Malazar, because Rav Elazar says, "Kol margei shishto rishona, whoever divorces his first wife." Even the Mizbeach cries over such a divorce. So it says in Malachi, it's a couple of psukim before, the one we just said, Kisanei Shalach. says, Zochinitasu, right? This also was something that he did wrong. Kasotima, right? You covered over the, or Kasotima at the Mizbech, you covered the Mizbech with tears. Bechi crying, Vanakan moaning. Main od pnotel mincha, right? Then Hashem is no longer turning to your karbanot, lakachat ratzon miyedchem, to take all that you offer to him. V'amarta mama, and you'll say, why is this? What is the reason? Al ki Hashem me'id ben chol ben eshet nurecha, because Hashem testifies between you and your wife of nurecha, your wife of your youth, meaning your first wife, Asher atah bagadta ba, that you rejected her and that you rebelled against her, v'hi chavertcha, and she's your friend, v'eshet britcha, and the wife of your covenant. And again, just to end on a more positive note, right, again, you see this eshet britcha, that the covenant between the husband and wife is something that has to be held in very high esteem, that marriage has to be held in a form of kedusha, and that all these opportunities, the reasons that are given here for the ability to divorce is because the husband's failing to understand that kedusha and failing to understand the sanctity of marriage, and therefore we tell him divorce her because you don't understand what a marriage is really about. All right, we'll stop here.